after reading Acts and sometimes even reading in the gospel, I sometimes leave with a feeling of those stiff-necked Pharisees, unbelieving Sadducees. They don't believe in the resurrection or angels. That's why they're sad, you see. And we have this image of what Israel's like, and you know, these people. And you know what I found in Israel? People that love Yahweh. I was amazed at the love for Yahweh out there. We are thank you. The tour guide, his name's Boaz, an amazing man, knows the scripture front and back, but yet you sense, because he uses phrases like your Messiah from time to time. He'll talk about Jesus, but then from time to time he says little things like that, and it makes you believe that, well, maybe he doesn't believe. And so, you know, Pat and I are going, you ask him, you know. So the lot fell on Patty. And she asked him if he was a Christian. And you know, it's interesting to ask someone if they're a Christian, especially in the Middle East, especially in Israel. When saying that you're a Christian could mean crusader, defamer. I mean, how many things have been done in the name of Christ? And do you know what his answer was? I'm a Jew, but have a special relationship with Jesus. Isn't that nice? That's good enough for me. He said, I'm a Jew, and I have a special relationship with Jesus. And I thought, praise God. Praise the Lord, really, of all things. You know, Boaz, who was it? I think it was Chris, asked another tour guide, but we actually gave Boaz a day off. And so this guy named Ron, another Israelite, came in and was showing us around. And so this other pastor says, so are you a man of faith? And he goes, absolutely, but I'm not a Christian. And I thought, wow. But you listen to him. And so I asked him, do you have a special relationship with Jesus? And he says, I do. And they identify themselves as being a Jew, I'm Jewish. And I like that. They know who they are. You know, for some of us, we see the lion of the tribe of Judah. But as we start to look closer, we see a lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. And they just quite haven't seen that yet, for some. But this love for Yahweh was incredible. The sense of patriotism was I haven't seen anything like that before. I don't think I noticed it the first time I went there. We made it for two holidays. One holiday was a Remembrance Day, a memorial for the Holocaust. And 11 a.m. on Wednesday morning, a siren went off for 2 minutes. The world stopped in Israel, and everyone stood in quiet remembrance of the Holocaust. It was amazing to stand there, not only because of just the weight of it, we just so happened to be standing by a siren. So it was loud, but it was amazing. And then later on, the second week, we're at the Dead Sea. They had, it was Freedom Day, kind of like our 4th of July, Independence Day. And the siren went off twice, once at 11 a.m. and then once at 8 p.m. At 11 a.m., we're driving, and the driver just immediately pulls over. And I watched other cars all pull over. And as a people, they stood in remembrance of their soldiers. Those who would give their life stand in the gap for the rest of their countrymen. Amazing patriotism. As you know, if you are a citizen of Israel, you serve in the army. If you're a woman, you serve for 2 years. If you're a man, you serve for 3 years. And then until you're 40, you're on the reserves. I love the t-shirt that I saw. I didn't buy it. I didn't have enough shekels at the time. It said, don't worry, America. We got your back. You know, and so many times we want to stand up for Israel. And Israel's saying, I talked to people over and over again. Hey, we're praying for you guys. We know you're having a difficult time right now. We understand your president is not for us, but we're praying for you. Amazing. Amazing. These were Jewish people. We're praying for you. And you, I didn't know how to respond when we first got there. Would they be offended by us? What do we represent? Like Patty, I wanted to know, what do you think about Christians wearing a Star of David? And Boaz said, are you kidding me? We're proud. We're proud that you would recognize your heritage. You're grafted in. And I thought, yes, I am grafted in. And that was such a beautiful thing. So I bought myself a little Star of David. I bought my wife one. Because Jesus was a Jew, yes? It's amazing. So the verse that the Lord put on my heart just to share with you, we've got lots to do today. We're going to take communion. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. And then we're going to have Todd's Supper. Oh, okay. Yeah, no chips for Todd. I'll take them. But the verse that the Lord gave me was found in Psalm 33. I just want to read the verse and then we'll go through a few things. But it's in Psalm 33, verse 12. It said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I love that verse. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. You read that and people could say, well, he's talking about Israel. Blessed is Israel because God is their Lord. Well, interestingly enough, the word for nation, everywhere in the New Testament where they read the word Gentile, is that same word. Blessed is the Gentile nation whose Lord is Yahweh. Whose Lord is Yahweh. We're sitting on top of Masada, and we heard just a tear-jerking story. And Boaz says, for me to think I can explain to you Judaism in 10 minutes, 10 weeks, 10 years would be foolish. But I can tell you two pillars that we believe in. The first pillar is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. They recognize that the Lord is God and he's one and there's unity in the Lord. And as I look at Israel, there's a sense of unity that is amazing. And my heart started praying not only for the peace of Jerusalem because it's there, but for us, for this country, that the Lord would be God in this nation. Because blessed is the nation, the Gentile nation, whose Lord is Yahweh. The second pillar is in Job where it says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And his response was, he's God. Period. We don't have to understand always the circumstances or have this knowledge of what's going on. He gives, he takes away, he does what he wishes because he's the Lord. And we just merely trust in him. Why? Because the Lord is one. Because the Lord is Yahweh. And as I was contemplating just what do we need as a nation? How do we get this unity thing? It's only found through Jesus. It's only found through the Lord. It's not let's get, you know, together as Americans and then become Christians. I think as we come together as Christians, America is rebirthed again. People would risk lives traveling over the Atlantic to get here. The Revolutionary War, to fight a nation that would dominate over the colonies. This nation was founded on Christian biblical principles, and yet today it's kind of waning. And yet I look back here and it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so my prayer is, Lord, I not only pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but Lord, I pray for the peace of Pacific Grove, of Monterey, and would you touch my heart and would you touch our hearts that we could be unified once again? I'd love to be able to stand. Did you know as we were in Israel, there was a highlight down in Panama City. There was this big to-do for some United States veterans. They were disabled veterans. And a college flew on down there. They were having their spring break. And they actually arrested some of those college students for pushing and spitting on our veterans and defecating on the United States flag. Now, you're talking to the one who's looking at, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and my heart started to break. They arrested them and fined them for elder abuse, but they did nothing about the nation, about defecating on our flag. And I don't want to put a flag above people, but there's a principle here that we've lost. And it starts with the Lord, and He unifies a people. Let's look at Psalm 33. We're going to read verse 1 through 5 together. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. Or if you play guitar, 6 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. For His love, He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." You know, the earth is full of His goodness. We always say, oh man, we do live in terrible days. But the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. He's here. And we just merely need to recognize it and walk in it. I like what he says here. Rejoice. That word rejoice is to be overcome. I like that. I want to be overcome to cry out, to shout, to give a ringing cry. Worshiping the Lord involves volume. When I was younger, I used to have a phrase that said, if it's too loud, you're too old. I can't hear that well right now. However, worship involves volume. Well, Pastor Dave, I don't sing all that well. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Your joyful noise is beautiful unto the Lord. Shout to Him, praise Him, and worship Him. Praise the Lord. That word praise comes from the word halal, which means to boast or to shine. You know, if you're on Facebook at all, people are always talking about their kids or whatever. You know, I saw a bumper sticker that said, "My dog is smarter than your honor student." And I thought that was weird. He's boasting on his dog, you know. But boasting on the Lord. Lord, you're good and your mercies endure forever. It's not about me. It's about just who you are, Lord. You're good. And I'm bragging on the King. And that's what we need to be doing, having a life of that. Worshiping the Lord. Verses 6 through 9 deal with Him being the Creator. I like that. It says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses." I think maybe some of our scientists should look at that. We're in a drought. Do you know where the Lord's hiding water? In the ocean. Did you know that Israel has the 2 largest diesel filtrations, and they're pulling water right out of the ocean, taking out the salt, and they're putting it into the Sea of Galilee that they can continue with their produce? I mean, it's the number one nation of produce there in Europe. It's amazing how green it is. We had so many vegetables, so much life. Fruit grows where the water flows. So I just like this. As I read the word, I see, ooh, we could use this. Then it says in verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spoke. It was done. He commanded and it stood fast." The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples to no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart are to all generations, or from generations to generations, or from everlasting to everlasting. He uses words like peoples and nations and generations. He says, I have a plan for you. From the beginning of time, I have a plan for each one of you to be fruitful, to rejoice, to be joyful. Sometimes we're so conservative, we forget to have fun. We forget to laugh. The word says that the oil of gladness was more on Jesus than any of his companions. And he offers that to you. He offers that to me. We don't have to be the Eeyore Christian. Oh, praise the Lord. It's another potluck. I say, get yourself some coffee and put a step in it. He's the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose Lord is Yahweh. I love that. He's the creator. He counsels. Talking to Boaz, we were talking about anointing. It's so cool. Who gets anointed? Kings and priests. And what do they anoint them with? Well, what does that oil represent? The Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness. Well, here is an interesting idiom. Oil floats above. Yes. So those who are anointed rise to the top. The Lord desires to raise you up, not just your attitude, but your spiritual walk with him. So many times we walk in the valley of the shadow of death. I understand that fruit is grown in the valley, but you can't live there, can you? No. You've got to get some mountaintop experience and allow the Lord to raise you up as a people, as a nation. Put a smile on your face and recognize this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. I'll be glad in it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, whose God is Yahweh, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Isn't that funny? He chooses us to be his inheritance. He's my inheritance, and yet he chooses me to be his inheritance. Isn't that funny? He goes on to say in verse 13, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of their dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their heart individually and he considers their work. The Lord looks, the Lord sees, and the Lord fashions the heart of people individually. He sees your heart. Yes, we are the goy, the goyim, or the nations, the Gentiles, but he sees you personally, individually. He knows your name. He knows your name. Being in a foreign country, I heard David actually quite a bit. We were in the city of David. I felt like a king. But you know, names like Patty weren't shouted very often, or names like Mike. But your name, it's one of the most beautiful things you can hear is when your name's being called, unless your middle name is following it. Then you know you're in trouble. But your name, he knows your name. The Bible says that your name is written on the palm of his hand. Right there. David, Linda, Mary, the palm of his hand says, I love you. Blows me away. No king is saved by the multitude of an army, verse 16. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its strength. I find that interesting that David would recognize that no king is safe. David would pen in a couple songs previous, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we we remember the name of the Lord our God. But what was that sin that David was remembered for? Counting his men. Remember that? How many men do we have in our army? We're looking for the few, the proud, David's army. And the Lord said, oh, because you didn't trust in me. He suffered the consequences. It's the same David that he recognized, you know what? It doesn't matter how big my army is. It doesn't matter how big my church is. It doesn't matter how big anything is. I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. Then he says in verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope on his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be just. Let your mercy be upon us just as we hope in you. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, who are have reverence. Our soul waits, our soul, our hearts rejoice, and we trust. He's our help, our shield, our mercy, and our hope. The Lord. The Lord is his name. And being in Israel for just 2 weeks just reminded me it's all about the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh. That word Lord there in verse 12 is all caps, L-O-R-D, Lord. It's the covenant name, the name that you'll remember me forever, Yahweh. It's his name. The best way to keep your family together is to keep Christ in the center. The best way to keep your church together is to keep Christ in the center. The best way to keep your marriage together is to keep Christ in the center. And the only way to keep your nation together is to keep Christ in the center. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'm a patriot. I don't know about you. We have a flagpole out there. I'm going to ask Dawn if you would mind if I'd fly an American flag on Sunday. I don't know why we don't, but we should. I'm proud to be an American. I could have been born in any country. I could have been in Iran. Right now, I could be being killed right now by ISIS or in communist China or in Colombia where the drug lords. But for some reason, he chose for me to be here to tell you, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I love the fact he wants to use us. We're his kids. In a second, we're going to have communion. And the men are going to come up. We're going to pass out the elements. I'm going to ask you to hold them so we can eat as a family. And it starts with me. Well, with us. It starts with the individual. Placing the Lord back in the center of your life. And then placing him into your marriage where he belongs at the top. In my family, in my workplace, he's my priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? How many things?
All.
Can we say all?
All?
But seek first the kingdom. First the kingdom. Seek the Lord. David makes it personal when he says, our souls wait, our hearts rejoice, and we have trusted in the Lord. Let's do that. Let's wait on him. Let's rejoice with volume. And it's turning up the dial. And let's trust in him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, even now as the men are gathering to pass out these elements, Lord, We're asking that you would, your word says that you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And so now, as this table has been prepared for us to come and to dine, as we see that the veil has been torn and there's access to the Holy of Holies, we recognize that it's about you ministering to me, to each one of us individually. And from there, our light can shine. But even now, as we're preparing our heart to take communion, I'd ask, Lord, if there's any wicked way within each one of us, that you'd bring it to heart, that we can confess it, that we could repent from it, Lord. Because we want to take communion in a worthy manner, in a way that would bring glory to you. Thank you that you would call out to Gentile nations. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that would save a wretch like me. We bless you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.